I'm going to write a word on the board this morning. You ever see that word? Seems like our lives are run by that word. But I'm thinking about sometimes you get something in the mail and it's marked that on the outside. Sometimes it's just some trashy mail that's from some insurance company wanting your business, and they want you to open it, so they put that on there. But sometimes things really do have deadlines. And I heard about somebody who kept getting something in the mail, and they didn't think it was anything important. They kept throwing it away. After a while, they got a phone call that said, "You've been getting a bill from us, and you're supposed to pay this, and we're going to charge you." So there's things that happen in our lives that are definitely time sensitive. And yesterday I was sitting on the ground picking parsley and basil out of my herb garden and getting them ready for harvesting. And I was thinking about the whole thing about this is the time that I should do this, and if I wait too long it might freeze and I'll have grown this all summer and then I won't have any to put up in the freezer. And I was thinking along that line. Last year, I hadn't harvested those things, and we got a hailstorm, and it just shredded it all up, and I didn't get any in the freezer all winter. So I was really wanting to get ahead of anything that would get my harvest before I did. So I was thinking about that, and these words from Jesus came to my mind, and I want to read them to you. So he began to deal with me about this message, and I'm going to have to tell you that it's a very, very serious message this morning, and I feel that God doesn't shoot blanks, as we term it sometimes, that there must be some meaning in it for me and for you. I really believe that God really deals with us, and, you know, I don't ever know who's going to be here, and I don't know what's going on in every life. But God does. God's the one that gives us what we're to say. And so I would this morning that we would each say to ourselves, God is talking to me, and I want to listen to what he's saying. In John chapter 9, Jesus said this, verse 4, "I must work the works of God. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Now, I was thinking about that, and yesterday morning when I had thought about the duties of my day and what I wanted to get done, I thought about it like, well, here's what I need to do at this time, because by this certain time it'll be dark. I can't put this off till after supper anymore, like we did in the summer, because it's going to be dark. And that's the way it is in our lives. If you want to get something done outside, and you don't want to have to drag a lot of wires and lights around, you want to get it done while it's light. Well, Jesus here gives us this principle for life. I must work while it is day, because the night is coming and no man can work. And I really felt that the Lord brought it home to our lives. There are things that we need to do now that we shouldn't put off, because the night is coming in our lives. The night comes in different ways for people. And some people, it's their health fails. And God's asking them to devote their lives to him while they have health and strength. The scripture says in Ecclesiastes, "Remember now thy creator in the days of your youth," before those days come where you say, "Oh, I don't have any good days anymore." That's what he's saying. People start feeling bad in their bodies every day. God wanted them to do something in life. God has a purpose for each of us. We were born with God having something in mind that only we can do. And I really believe that. I believe God has something special. That he made you and me to do. But he wants us to go through all the preparation that it takes to do that thing. And if we wait till, say, I'm 35, and I'm going to go and start doing God's will, Well, there's preparation, and there may not be time now in my life to do what God had wanted me to do. He wanted me to start when I was 12, when he first came to me and said, "Give me your heart." Because this thing that he wanted me to do in my life, it was going to take years of preparation, teaching me how to deny myself and how to do his will. There's a lot of exercise for that. I can't just go from a life of doing what I want to do all the time to all of a sudden doing exactly what God wants me to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? He has to send me through some discipline where my body, every time my body says, go do this or go eat this or you need to sleep, and that instead of following my body all the time, now I'm following God's voice. And it takes some exercise to know and to discern God's voice and to discern what I need and what I shouldn't do, what I need to do and what I ought to do and what I need to lay aside. All of those things, it takes preparation from God. Because when we're doing God's commission, he wants what we call a vessel that he can just pour whatever into and pick it up and then take it wherever he needs to and pour it out. He wants to be able to use us in that capacity that created for which he created us. We can't do that if we're totally, totally given to doing our own thing. So he says the night is coming when you can't work. There's coming a time in our lives where we won't be able, the opportunity for us to have done what God wanted us to do is pretty much gone. Sure, a person can be saved on their deathbed. You can wait till you're 85 or 89 and you can get saved. God loves you that much that he will extend every bit of time to you. But it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing to know for 40, 50 years, I need to give my life to God. I need to be doing his will. The days are going by and the years are going by and I always do what I want to do. But what about what God wanted me to do in my life? The opportunity is slipping by. And here I am, 50, 60 years old. And many times, I thought about this. How many people do you know? And my husband and I have talked about this for years. How many people do you know their life is enslaved by their work and their job and the deadlines, and there is no time for relationships and for enjoyment or for God? And they think, when I retire, I will go here, I will do this, I will spend time with my family, I will say those words that I need to, and I will do those kind deeds that I need to, I will volunteer, we will take a trip together. How many times do you hear people do that? What happens at 62? A lot of times, one of them dies. I've seen it happen over and over again. Put off the good things of life till retirement, and then the night of your life comes and you can't do it. This is not a doom and gloom message, but this is a message of God saying, what I'm asking you to do, trust me and obey me, because there's a time in your life that you won't be able to do it. There's another spot, place in the scripture that I want to look at. In Jeremiah chapter 8, the prophet here was lamenting. Actually, he was echoing, he was verbalizing the cry of the children of Israel. Who God had talked to them, God had dealt with them, and he told them, he warned them for years. He warned them in the days of King Hezekiah. The days were good, days of peace and truth in Hezekiah's days. But he told them, he said, if you stay with me, he told Asa this too, if you stay with me, I'll stay with you. But if you forsake me, I'll forsake you, and I'll cause you to be carried away into this land of your enemies. Well, he told Hezekiah that. And Hezekiah the king humbled himself. And he repented of his wickedness. And God said, okay, because you did that, it won't happen in your time. But if people keep on in the way that they're going, they are going to be carried away into the land of their enemies. Well, I don't know how long it was later, but several years later, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and he went to the king of that time, and he said, these are the words of the Lord. I'm going to carry you away. I'm going to take away this country, my people, and they're going to go into Babylon, into bondage. And the king wanted to kill him for it. Well, the prophecy that had come to Hezekiah through prophet Micah was the same prophecy. Hezekiah had humbled himself. And what happened with Jeremiah was Jeremiah had told his king that, and the king and the leaders and the people said, let's kill him. And some of the older ones said, you know what? These are not Jeremiah's words. These are the same words that Micah spoke to Hezekiah years ago, and Hezekiah humbled himself, and it wasn't done in his days. In other words, you've got an opportunity here to escape this judgment if you'll humble yourself like Hezekiah. But if you put Jeremiah to death, these words are true. These are God's words. They're going to happen to you. You can read about that here in the book of Jeremiah. But here, he's saying, this is the cry of the people. Verse 20, the harvest is past and the summer is ended, and we are not saved. That's one of the saddest verses in the Bible, I think. What's he talking about? He may have been talking about God's deadlines and saying, by a certain time, maybe God had said, by the end of the summer, if you don't turn back to me, this is what's going to happen. Your enemy's going to overrun the land. I'm not sure just what he's saying. But we do know that there is a spiritual meaning to the harvest and the summer. It's talking about seasons in our lives. Seasons where it's the time, like I was getting the parsley and the basil before it froze. There's a time in gardening for things to be done. If you wait until July to plant cabbage and broccoli, and I've done it, you know what they do? They sit there and do nothing. That's right. They sit there and they don't grow, and you water them, and the same sun that's making the green beans grow is shining on those little old spindly plants, and they are doing nothing. It's not time for, we can't do that. One time, Brother R.L. came to my house, and it was July the 4th, and I was getting ready to plant corn. He said, you can't plant corn in July the 4th. I said, oh, I'm going to try. Well, I was fortunate that year. Had a wonderful stand of corn. I harvested in September, and I did fine. But there have been other years that I got it in earlier, and by July the 4th, I was saying, whoo! I'm sure glad I didn't try to plant corn right now, because I'd be out there every day watering. There's times for planting. There's times for harvesting. And you think, well, nature ought to have a little mercy on me here. I ought to be able to put out what I want to when I want to. That's not the way it is. There are spiritual laws that are echoed in natural laws. There's a time of sowing. Better not miss it. It's time to do it then. And there's a time of harvest or gathering. God wants to gather you. He wants to bring you to himself. And there's a time that he wants to do that. Don't wait till it's past. And there's other scriptures that kind of go with this. I want to show you Isaiah chapter 55. There's a time when the Lord wants He's speaking with a person. He's talking to you. All the events in your life point to something, and you're thinking, what's going on here? What's happening in my life? Why is this happening in my life? Many times we don't know this is God speaking to me. God is saying to me, I want you to give me your heart. I want you to do my will in your life. It's time for you to be saved, to be born again, to come to me. So Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. This is time sensitive. The time when God wants to gather you. The time that the Lord wants to save you. It's a time where he comes and he talks to you. When you hear God's voice, don't just say, well, I've gotten from here till the end of my life to do something about it. No, this is time sensitive. God's Spirit, God working with you, God bringing things into your life, this is your opportunity. This is your time. This is called your visitation. The Jews had their time, didn't they, when Jesus came? How long was Jesus alive on earth, walking around, doing the things that he did? He was 33 when they crucified him. He didn't even begin his ministry to them till he was 30. So 3 years, Jesus walked around doing good, preached the gospel of the kingdom, gave the parables. When he talked to them, a lot of times he talked to them in a mysterious story. Why did he do that? Why didn't he just say, you are fixing to have to go to judgment. You're fixing. Why didn't he just be clear with them? You know, God works many times with us in the same way. There are things that happen in our life and we go, what's that all about? You know why God does that to us? He wants there to be a response. This is the way that I preached about this last Sunday. God sends you a dream. You wake up and you think, what was that all about? What does that mean? God wants us to seek. God wants us to say, come to him and say, Lord, what are you saying to me? If he just said everything out in black and white, we'd be pretty spoiled, but he wants there to be a seeking on our part. He wants to introduce himself. He wants to speak to us and maybe draw back a little bit and wait. What is she going to do? What is he going to do? What did he do with Moses? Did he walk up to Moses, big figure of God, walk up to Moses, say, you, I want you to go down to Egypt and get my people, bring them out. He didn't do that, did he? Moses was doing his business. He was out in the desert watching sheep. All of a sudden, he looked up and a bush is on fire. It was God in the bush. God didn't holler at him and say, over here in the bush. He didn't do that. He just was in the bush burning. God is a consuming fire. God let his fire part of him be seen over there in the desert. Moses looked over there. Bush is on fire. It'll die down in a minute. There's nothing else to catch on fire. In about 5 minutes, he looked over there and he said, the thing's still going. Bush is on fire. It's not burned up. Well, must have been a lot of sap in that one or something. So he sits there and in a little bit, thing is still burning. I'm going to go see what's over there. And the scripture says that when God saw that he turned aside to see, then he called to him out of the bush. You ever have a burning bush in your life? What's that all about? What's going on here? Why does this keep happening? This is strange. God wants you to turn around, get away from your business or whatever you're doing, and walk over there and say, Lord, what are you saying to me in this? It said when God saw that he turned aside to see, he called to him out of the bush. Moses. Many of us think, if God wants my attention, he can get it. Maybe he's already been trying through the events in your life that you can't figure out, and it's been God all this time. And when we stop and when we turn and seek, that's when God says, calls our name. These things are in his word. There are ways that God deals with us. But he said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. What does that, it's not saying there may be a time that I might not call upon you. But it's kind of alluding to that, doesn't it? Don't you think that it's saying there may be a time when I won't feel God near? It will be very, very hard to call on him because he'll be nowhere around. Right now, while I feel this tenderness, while I feel this urge, while I feel this need, that's my easiest time to be saved. So call on him while he is near. Another scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul says, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain." God's offering you his grace. What is that? Love and favor that you did not deserve. God's grace is amazing in that he gives us what we don't deserve, and he doesn't give us what we deserve. That's his grace. Because what we deserve many times is really the punishment for our willfulness, for our rebellion against him. But no, he doesn't give it to us. Instead, he extends his love to us. "I love you." Like we sang about, Jesus loves me when I'm bad, though it makes him very sad. He extends love and favor to us. So Paul said here, don't receive that in vain. Don't let it be offered to you and you not take it and accept it. When it's offered, receive it. And then let it work in your life. Then he goes on and he says, in parentheses, it's like he says, because this is what's true, now remember this. And then he goes on with his thought, but let's read what the parentheses. "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored," or have I aided you. To succor means to run to a cry of urgent help. "Help, help!" He said, "This is the day that I have succored you, or I have aided you. I've come to your rescue." What is it? The day of salvation. Did you know every one of us, there's a day of salvation that God extends to you in your life where God is going to hear your cry of help. He said, "I've heard you in a time accepted." There's a time accepted in your life. And what is it? He said, "Behold, now is the accepted time. And today, behold, now is the day of salvation." That's been the subject of many messages down through time. Today is the day of salvation. And there's another scripture he said today. Well, let's go to that. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today." So this time, today, is the day for me to respond to God's call. "While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Now that's one of the deadlines, or one of the time-sensitive issues here, is that there are times when I am sensitive to God. And if I put it off and I neglect it, there will come a time where I will be so indifferent that it won't matter. I won't even try, and I won't even care. That's what happens to many people. It's not that God pulls away, but it's that God talked to them in a time where they were very sensitive. And then they became hardened. Sin has a way of hardening people. Sin also has a way of deadening people, of causing us to be insensitive, of callousing. There's a scripture in Ephesians that talks about somebody who look at that just a minute. He called it being past feeling. And what it means is being calloused. There are people who are past feeling. They don't care. They don't know. They don't understand. And so what? And don't bother me. Before a person gets to that stage, God wants them to believe and to yield and to be saved. He said, "Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we're made partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence, steadfast unto the end." He's warning here against once believing and then going away from Christ and becoming hard. "While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." That is still the warning. That's still the warning for all of us. Because every single one of us could become hardened. We could come, there are people we call gospel hardened. They can come and sit in the pews. They can hear the word with their ears, but their inner ears have not been opened. their inner ears are hardened. You can't print anything. Remember last Sunday talked about God opening the ear, imprinting a seal of his spirit upon them, and opening man's heart. There are people who have, they've heard it so many times and passed it off so many times that it doesn't faze them anymore. The emotions of it, the sense of it, the responsibility and obligation that they should feel, they don't feel it anymore. They just go on, and there's sometimes people have real needs. There are sometimes people are hypocritical. They come to church and they say that they're a Christian, and the word goes forth and hits them. And I've seen this happen to people in my life. The message will come forth, and I'm friends with that person. I know what their life is like. I know what they do in their business. I know what they do at home. I know how they speak to their family. And so the word comes over the pulpit about being honest in your business dealings. And I've seen this happen. I've seen people who had that very need in their life get up and tell other people, this is true, we need to take heed to this. And I've seen them talk. And I sat there and thought, you are taking what was meant for you and you're throwing it out on everybody else and you're not profiting from it. Just go out and do the very same thing the next week in your business that you've been doing. And here God wanted to talk to you. God loves you. God dealt with you. Preacher didn't know what you were doing, but this happens. I've seen this happen to people before, and it's very sad. After a while, that person gets to where they can easily slip conviction off of them and throw it on other people, and nothing bothers them. That's a very dangerous spiritual way to live. We don't ever want to get where everything God says to us, we shift it off on somebody else. I think it's in the book of James where he said, be a doer of the word and don't be just a hearer. He said, what happens when we're like that is that we're like somebody who goes in front of the mirror and, oh, why didn't somebody tell me my hair was all messed up? And then not pick up a comb and do anything about it and go away from the mirror, hair still messed up. And somebody knocks on the door and you go to the door. Hi, you got this bad hair mess and you have forgotten that you're in a mess. Oh, he said, that's just the way it is if you don't go and you do what the Lord wants you to do immediately when he asks you to do it, you forget. This is time sensitive. Hearing God's voice, feeling his spirit and his conviction, knowing what he wants me to do, if I don't obey, it'll soon pass off. The feeling, the impression, the knowledge, the ability to care, it all goes away. And we're left kind of a hollow shell of a person who really doesn't have anything worth anything inside. This is something for the children. There was a story one time about a little boy. He was out in the orchard with his brother and sister. Or maybe it was just his brother. Anyway, he heard his mama calling from the house. Philip! Mark! Come in! Well, Mark gets down and he goes inside. Philip stays up in the apple tree. I don't want to go in. I don't want to go do what Mom... She has some work for me to do. I don't want to go in. And so he pretended he didn't hear his mommy, and he stayed in the apple tree. After a while, he got hungry, and he decided to get down, and he came in casually into the kitchen. His mama said, Philip, where were you? I called for you. Your aunt and uncle were here, and they were going to the zoo. And they wanted to take you and Mark. And I called and I called. But you wouldn't come. And they had to hurry. And so they've gone to the zoo without you. And Mark went with them. And Philip started to cry. I want to go to the zoo. want to stay here. I want to go to the zoo. And she said, I'm sorry. That was the only time that they could take you. Oh, how he cried. Oh, how he knew why he had missed it. Because he didn't want to obey his mother. Now, that's just a child's story, but it has great meaning for us. There are things in our lives where there's one opportunity. And you think, well, that's not fair. I should be able to do it when I want to. There's just things in life that there's only one opportunity. And if we miss it, we've missed it. It's that way with serving the Lord. If I come to die, and I've not given my heart to the Lord, that's it. That's it. When I die, there's no more opportunity. So this morning, I want to encourage us to remember God and remember these things. Work, believe, serve Him, do His will while it is day, because the night's coming in your life when you can't do it anymore. I knew a man who wrote some of the songs in our book, Brother Ulysses Phillips. He wrote a poem, and his daughter and her husband, I knew them. I did not know Brother Phillips, but I knew the daughter and the son. And in my youth, now they're passed away. But when I was young, these two people, especially the man, he would get up and he would say this poem to the young people. And I got to where I almost memorized it, but I didn't quite. So I did copy it off today and to share with you. The poem is called Procrastination. Unto a youth the gospel came, exhorting him in Jesus' name to turn from sin, embrace the truth, and serve the Lord in days of youth. The youth replied, I know that's right, but I won't turn from sin tonight. A few more pleasures I will seek, and then I'll turn, perhaps next week. But next week came, and still his heart was not inclined from sin to part. A few more days in sin I'll live, and then my heart to God I'll give. Days passed by, and months rolled on, and still he sang the same old song. Not now, but after a while I'll live. I'll pray for God to wash my sins away. The months and years went by so fast, from youth to middle age he passed, and yet his sins were not forgiven, nor was his name enrolled in heaven. From middle age to old he went, his body neath the years was bent. His conscience, once so keen to feel, no more was stirred at God's appeal. Procrastination, in its stealth, had robbed his soul of heaven's wealth. And so at last, to sin a slave, he died to fill a Christless grave. O souls, behold, God says today, turn now from all your sins away, lest you should reach your doleful fate and cry at last, too late, too late. Think about the things in our lives that are time sensitive. Your salvation, the time to minister and work for the Lord, in your youth, when you're strong, when your mind is good, the time to do any kind of work or job, the time to influence little children. Think about that. Don't wait until the children are great big before you teach them of salvation. They're time sensitive. Children are time sensitive. Little, tiny, teach them about God. Marriage. Do you know marriage is time sensitive? The things that you and I ought to be doing and saying and being with our loved one, there may come a time when we're not able to do that. When the opportunity is past, let's not wait to say those sweet words to make that relationship as rich and deep and full as it could be. The time to ask for forgiveness and mend relationships. Did you know that's time sensitive? there have been regrets in my life where I don't feel like that I mended the relationship, and then I got the word, so-and-so has died. There's just nothing like that. There's nothing more I can do for that person. Our relationship was not what it should have been. I remember a time when an older man, and he wasn't too old, but he died suddenly. And I took the word to a young man and said, "He's gone. He's gone." And the young man just took a step back and he said, "Man," he said, "it makes you wish you'd tried harder to be friends." Because he didn't like that person. He wasn't friends with that older man. But it shocked him into reality. You know what? I could have been if I would have just tried harder. But now he's gone and the opportunity is gone. Lord, help us. If you have something to take care of with somebody, do it today. You have words to say to somebody? Do you have forgiveness to ask? Do you have an "I'm sorry" to say? Are your relationships broken and wound? Somebody's heart is wounded because of something you said? Ask God, "Lord, help me to know how to do this, and I'm going to do it." And don't put it off. Say those words. Don't owe something to somebody. The Bible says, love one another. We should take seriously the opportunity that we have. Amen.